Well, good evening. It's good to have everybody here. Okay, we've been, of course, studying about dinosaurs. The last section we've been talking about is looking at some of the evidence that shows that man and dinosaurs coexisted. Of course, evolutionists say that man and dinosaurs never saw one another. There was at least 65 million years when the dinosaurs died out to finally man coming on the scene, as far as evolution is concerned. So when they look at some of these things that we've been looking at, and we'll look at again tonight, they just shake their head and say there has to be another explanation for that. Because it's not possible that dinosaurs and man lived side by side. I've looked at maybe showing a video, but I've gone through several of these. They're good, but a lot of them cover some of the material we've already covered. Some of them go into a little more detail than what I want to get into. But there's five of those here. Dinosaurs, Dragons in the Bible, The Truth Be Told. This is kind of a series on evolution as a whole, but they do have two sections there talking about dinosaurs. The Dinosaur Hunter, the High-Tech Dinosaur Digging, how they do that. Dragons or Dinosaurs, Creation or Evolution. And then one here is called Discovering Dinosaur Soft Tissue. All of these are interesting. I'm going to put them in the library if anybody wants to look at them. You can do that. Like I said, I'm not going to take class time to do that. But the one about the soft tissue to me is interesting because it's pretty recent that they have found soft tissue in dinosaur bones. In times past, they just figured, you know, if these things lived 65 million years ago, there's no way that soft tissue could even be there. So it never was even thought about, wasn't even looked for. And I think around the year 2000, if it says here or not, but a scientist, Mary Schweitzer and Dr. Jack Horner, found a formation in Montana. Mary Schweitzer did things a little bit different than what they have in the past. She put them in a solution of weak acid that would get rid of the bone. And guess what she found? Red blood cells. Blood veins. She believes in evolution. So she was trying to figure out some way to account for this. They've come up with different ideas and theories, but of course nothing really pans out other than the fact of what they're looking at is really soft tissue. Soft tissue will not last 65 million years. So this has really caused an uproar recently in the scientific community. So that's one of them that's kind of interesting to watch if you want to look at that. There's also a couple of books. Again, we'll have these back here in the library. One is Dinosaurs Unleashed. This has a lot of information there. It talks about how fossils are formed, how they're dug up. It talks about the different dinosaurs. It talks about some of the things that could have happened to them. It also has a section there talking about the flying reptiles, which I haven't really covered a whole lot other than the fact that they've been mentioned in history. And then there's also one here. It's kind of like a journal, a dinosaur field journal. Both of these from Apologetics Press. This one's from the standpoint of somebody that lived in ancient times. If they had kept a journal, what might it have been? What might have been put in there? And so it's kind of interesting. It's, like I said, it's a little bit different. But it's a guy by the name of Eber, of the Land Between the Rivers. And this is his journal. So anyway, these are in the library if you want to look at them. Like I said, they're kind of interesting. This one gives you some details as far as like if you saw a dinosaur, how big was it, gives you the dimensions, what did he eat, those type of things. So again, won't spend a lot of time as far as class time, but they are ones that I had ordered for this class to kind of get prepared for it. And like I said, the videos, they're good, but they just take up too much time. As to some of the stuff we've already covered, some of it we haven't covered, it kind of gets into a little bit more detail than what I want to get into. But they're there. They'll be in the library. You can check them out, take them home, look at them. There for your use. Also, again, I want to mention that we'll probably have two more classes, or I say one more tonight, and one more class on the dinosaurs, and then we'll start the next lesson. The next lesson is the final lesson in this series. So you men that want to teach class, probably got about two more months to get your material ready, so be working on that. A couple weeks ago, we had our class. Last week, we had the guest speaker. But we began to talk, like I said, some of the evidence that shows that dinosaurs and men coexisted. One of the things that we looked at was this one here. It's a petroglyph, which is a drawing that they put on rocks. It's pretty faded in real life. You can see it up there. It says the original. They've enhanced it so you can see it a little bit better. But I don't know what else you would call this creature other than what we say today is a dinosaur. And again, if mankind had never seen a dinosaur, how would they know how to draw one? I was talking to Elwood last week, and I said something about if I told you to draw an elicopus, what would you draw? Have you ever seen an elicopus? Well, I haven't. That'd be the same thing as these people. If they had never seen a dinosaur, remember the dinosaur bones weren't found until like 1820 something, how would they know what to draw? And draw it so accurately? They had to have seen something. Here's one that looks quite a bit like the drawing that we just saw. And then we talked about the temple in Cambodia. They have a lot of different animal carvings in that temple. And this is one of them. What does that look like? Something that we call a dinosaur today. Again, how would they know how to draw one and draw it so accurately if they've never seen one? This one here was a tile mosaic that was found in Egypt. These are the ones we looked at 2 weeks ago. I'm just kind of reviewing here for a little bit. It was in a lot bigger picture. This has been enhanced to kind of show you this particular little picture they had of some people hunting what looks like a dinosaur along the Nile River. And then these are the Inca stones that people drew on stones, carved into stones. And again, they're nothing else but dinosaurs. I don't know what else you could call them. But again, if they'd never seen them, how could they draw them? And here's a dinosaur that's got somebody by the throat. Here's one that's chasing after a dinosaur. But all of these are carvings from a few centuries ago. And how did they know? Okay, we ended up by looking at this one, or put this slide up. It's called the Bell Tomb Engraving. It says, evolutionists say mankind and dinosaurs did not live together. But consider the evidence provided by the Bell Tomb Engravings. In far northern England, near the Scottish border, lies the village of Carlisle, a city with a turbulent history. The Romans built a wall through it. The Vikings invaded it. And the Scots and the English fought for it for many years. Located in this English village is the medieval period Carlisle Cathedral, which was founded in 1122 AD by King Henry I. So the cathedral was founded in 1122. It was built sometime after that. Here's a picture. I know it's kind of hard to see, but this is England down here. There's London. This is Scotland. But this is the city of Carlisle right there. So that's the cathedral that we're talking about, where it's built. This is a picture of the tomb itself. It says, on February the 11th, 1478, Richard Bell was elected bishop of the Carlisle Cathedral and served some 17 years before resigning on September the 4th, 1495. He died in 1496 at the age of 86, and in keeping with British custom, he was buried beneath the floor of the cathedral. And now they've, I guess people have walked over this for a lot of years, and they've kind of made it where people can't walk on it now to try to preserve it. But along the band, this right here, this is all brass, but that band right there is 9.5 feet tall. It's a narrow strip of brass that runs around the outer edge of the tomb, and it covers the slab, and it bears Latin words, and in between the words are pictures of animals. Of course, like I said, it's kind of hard to see here. But these are some of the pictures that are on that brass band that goes around this burial site. And remember, he died in 1496. So this was, say, around 1500 A.D. Roughly, what, a little over 500 years. Have a picture of an aardvark. There's a picture of a bird. There's a bat. I said, some of these are kind of faded out, and that's the reason they're having to preserve it. A pig, a bear, a dog, and four species of fish, and then these creatures. Kind of looked like what we call dinosaurs. It says the creature on the left has what appears to be spikes on its tail, reminiscent of the stegosaurids. The animal on the right most certainly appears dinosaur-like. In fact, it strongly resembles a sauropod. If these are in fact dinosaurs, it would add further weight to the fact that human beings were contemporaries with dinosaurs. There is another picture that resembles a dinosaur. That one. Some have said that it's an alligator or a crocodile. The snout may look a little bit like it, but an alligator doesn't have a tail that flips up in an S shape. It's just a long, stout tail that sticks out the back. So what is it? Nobody really knows. So what are these three animals? Are they pictures of dinosaurs? I'll let you be the judge. But if they are, again, this was just a little over 500 years ago when these were carved. Petroglyphs were discovered in the Havasupai Canyon in Arizona, which is part of the Grand Canyon. On two occasions in the late 1800s, Dr. Hubbard was a curator of the Oakland Museum, and he visited this area of the Grand Canyon known as the Havasupai Canyon. In the fall of 1924, Hubbard, a theistic evolutionist, meaning a guy that believes in God, but he believes that God set in motion evolution. God kind of got the ball rolling and then let it go. Theistic evolutionist. Does believe in God, but he also believes in evolution. He made his third trip to this area. And this time he was accompanied by several men. One, another paleontologist, Charles W. Gilmore, a photographer, Robert Carson, and the oil tycoon who sponsored this expedition, E.L. Dehaney. And this is what they found. They found a lot of different pictures. But among all the other carvings, they found this little carving here that caught their attention. Here's a close-up. Among all the different animals that are carved on these rocks, here's this creature. What is it? Could be something like that. Could have been a drawing of some type of large reptile sitting back on its two legs and its tail. Picture would be drawn as somebody who would maybe see this creature sitting there just like that. It's not really any known animal that we have today. But again, looks like a dinosaur to me. Dr. Hubbard photographed a petroglyph and eventually placed it in a scientific article titled Discoveries Relating to Prehistoric Man by the Dehaney Scientific Expedition in the Havasupai Canyon. This was in 1925. So what kind of animal is it? What kind of animal had a long neck, long tail, wide body, and once roamed northern Arizona? Well, Dr. Hubbard believed that he had found an ancient drawing of a dinosaur. He stated this: the fact that some prehistoric man made a petroglyph of a dinosaur on the walls of this canyon upsets completely all of our theories regarding the antiquity of man. In fact, or the fact that the animal is upright and balanced on its tail would seem to indicate that the prehistoric artist must have seen it alive. If there's proof that man and dinosaurs coexisted, again, the whole theory of evolution goes out the window, at least how it's written today. Fossil footprints found about 100 miles from the drawing prove that dinosaurs once lived in the same general area of the dinosaur-like rock art. So it's not impossible that they did not see them. The fossils are there. So how could man have drawn such an accurate picture of a creature he supposedly had never seen? That's the question. If I asked you to draw a picture of something you'd never seen before and really hadn't described it to you, what would you draw? Everybody's picture would be different and probably not even close to what was the original object that we wanted you to draw. Yet all of these drawings that we've seen, carvings, are pretty accurate. So how could that be if they'd never been seen by man? Remember we said at the beginning of our lesson, the first discovery of dinosaurs, at least in recent times, occurred in the spring of 1822 by Dr. Gideon Mantell and his wife, Mary Ann. All of these carvings, all of these petroglyphs and so on are way before 1822. Evolutionist tells us that man and dinosaurs did not live together. So how could early man so accurately draw animals that they had never seen? They couldn't. All of this shows that man saw these animals. These animals coexisted with mankind. They dealt with them. The fact is, man once lived with dinosaurs. And the drawings and carvings found in places like Cambodia, the Natural Bridges in Utah, Three Rivers, New Mexico, Havasupe in Arizona, and many other places around the world serve as strong evidence that the cohabitation of man and dinosaurs is true. The evidence proves that mankind and dinosaurs were not separated by millions of years, as the evolutionists tell us. Instead, the truth is that mankind and dinosaurs lived together. And there's lots of other things that could be put in here. In these books here, it gives you some more examples. There's lots of pottery, clay, artifacts that are found in Mexico. And they're shaped like dinosaurs. Again, how would they know how to form these animals? Maybe somebody could have accidentally imagined something like that in their mind and come close to it. But when you have so many of these over and over again representing so many different types of dinosaurs and been depicting them so accurately, it's impossible for it to be an accident. God created everything in 6 literal days. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth and the sea and all that is in them, and rested the 7th day. All pretty well covers everything. He didn't create most things and then something else came along a little bit later. He created everything in 6 literal days. All means that both man and dinosaurs were created together during the creation. God says He created man and dinosaurs together. In Job 40:15, we've mentioned this before, "Look now at the behemoth which I made along with you." God is talking to Job. Remember in Job 40 and 41, talks about the behemoth and the Leviathan. And here God is saying, look at this magnificent creature that I created along with you. If you believe God is God, if you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, you have to believe that dinosaurs and mankind coexisted. Live together, side by side. No doubt about it. Otherwise, God lied here. And He didn't create the dinosaurs along with mankind. And we know that's not the case. It is clear that evolutionists are wrong, but they'll never admit it. Man and dinosaurs did coexist, and God's word is loud and clear. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. As you said, everything that's in it. But then we ask the question that everybody wants to ask. What happened to the dinosaurs? If they were around, and it sure seemed like they were when man was here, where are they now? What happened to them? That Bell Cathedral that we looked at, I said that was in 1500 AD, about 500 years ago, they incorporated what looked like dinosaurs into their etchings, into that tomb. It's a little over 500 years ago. So it seems like maybe they were still around at that time. At least some of them. The question has puzzled scientists for years. What happened to the dinosaur? And they've come up with several different theories. There have been many theories proposed to try to explain the extinction of the dinosaurs. Dewey McLean wrote in 1995 that the perplexing mass destruction of the majority of dinosaurs remains one of the greatest mysteries in all of science. Where did they go? Why did they die off? In the Scientific American Book of Dinosaurs, Walter Alvarez and Frank Asaro wrote, about 65 million years ago, something killed half of all life on Earth. This sensational crime wiped out the dinosaurs. So this is where they come up with their 65 million years ago, the dinosaurs were wiped out. Something happened, and they were gone. Dewey McLean suggested 65 million years ago, some phenomenon triggered mass extinctions on the lands and in the oceans so profound that they defined the geological boundary between the older Mesozoic era, often called the Age of Reptiles, and the modern Cenozoic era, the Age of Mammals. So evolution say that the Age of Reptiles, the dinosaurs, existed. And then something catastrophic happened. They're all died off, but now we've got these mammals that show up all of a sudden. And this is one of the ways that they date fossils. This is right here. Just because it happens to be a dinosaur fossil, it has to be older than 65 million years. They don't need any other reason, any scientific reason for it. It's just, it has to be old. The most popularly held evolutionary view of dinosaur extinction is that huge 6-mile-wide asteroid crashed into Earth and caused catastrophic global devastation. I think we've all heard of that. That's where we got the Gulf of Mexico, don't you know? And yeah, a 6-mile-wide asteroid would cause a lot of devastation on Earth. No doubt about that. But why just the dinosaurs? Why were they susceptible to an asteroid hitting the Earth and the other animals weren't? The problem with such theories is they fall short of adequately explaining all the data. For example, no one knows why the effects of an asteroid striking the Earth would kill the dinosaurs but leave many other forms of life unharmed. And that's true. If it's going to wipe out the dinosaurs, you'd think it would wipe out most of everything else. Not just pick on those poor innocent dinosaurs. Such as, why did the asteroid not kill other reptiles such as turtles and alligators? What's more, nothing in the fossil record supports the death of all dinosaurs at once. Though many dinosaurs are found in fossil graveyards throughout the world, the evidence also shows that some lived at a later time. So it wasn't a fact that they all died off, even if an asteroid did hit. The fossil evidence shows that many lived past that catastrophic event, if it really happened. While creationists disagree with the meteor theory and with the millions of year time frame used by evolutionists, they do agree that a major catastrophic event killed off many dinosaurs sometime in the past. Any ideas, suggestions, thoughts, guesses about what that might be? The flood. What could that catastrophic event have been? The flood of Noah. As we've mentioned, we've talked about the flood of Noah at length. It reshaped this earth. It changed the earth. The climate. One of the things that, if you remember the chart that we looked at, the ages of the patriarchs, we looked at that, and boy, Adam, down to Noah, 600, 700, 800, 900 years. After Noah and the flood, what happened to those ages? Shorter, shorter, shorter. The flood changed the environment. Something caused the age of men to just diminished down greatly. Things were not the same after the flood. So it's quite possible that this environment that these reptiles lived in, the dinosaurs, after the flood was not conducive to their existence, at least not in the way it was before. Remember, we mentioned the fact that even in Antarctica, there are fossils of tropical plants buried beneath miles of ice. So when did those plants live there? Well, more than likely, before the flood. We mentioned the fact that it was probably before the flood, the whole world was tropical. God created a paradise for mankind. And the dinosaur-like animals roamed the whole world, all continents. They couldn't survive in Antarctica today. We can't survive unless we've got special equipment. So the world after the flood was drastically different. And these big, great creatures didn't have this tropical environment that they had before. Didn't have probably the lush vegetation that they had before. These big creatures eat a lot during the day. So again, things had changed after the flood. The flood of Noah explains perfectly what happened to the dinosaurs. And the many dinosaur graveyards around the world show evidence of flooding. This is where we get most of these dinosaur bones. They were covered up quickly. The fossil quarry in the National Dinosaur Monument on the border of Colorado and Utah is one of the largest fossil repositories in the world, where over 1,600 fossilized dinosaur bones are buried. We showed you this earlier in the lesson. I'll show you again, kind of remind you. The border of Colorado and Utah is a huge area, and it's filled with fossils, dinosaur fossils. One of the buildings in there is this one here. If you'll notice, if you can kind of look inside those windows there, you see a wall that's probably about a 45 degree angle. This is where they've been digging out some of those fossils. Well, instead of digging them completely out, they decided just to excavate them about halfway so you can see the bones and leave them there. And then they built this building around it to protect it, and also so you can go in during the summer when it's hot and it's cool inside the building. But it protects these dinosaur bones. You can go in and look at them. There you can see some of them. The picture doesn't show real good, but you can see some of the bones up there. And again, I think I asked this before, but how many have been up there? Okay, a few of you. It's interesting. If you ever get a chance and you just happen to be heading up that way, drop by and see it. In the building that covers this major rock face that contains large amounts of dinosaur fossils, there's a placard that reads this. After a seasonal flood, this scene of 145 million years ago is based on clues found in the rock face behind you. Carcasses brought downstream by the fast-moving, muddy water were washed into a sandbar. Some were buried completely by tons of sand, their bones preserved in a nearly perfect state. Notice what it says. Whoops, go back. A seasonal flood. So they do say that, yes, water was involved. But they're not going to say it's a worldwide flood. They just say a seasonal flood. In 1999, University of Chicago paleontologist Paul Sereno uncovered a 65-foot-long dinosaur called Jabra. This skeleton was about 95% complete, which is kind of unusual. A lot of times these fossils are not found whole. They're scattered. bones are scattered, and they had to piece them together. But what was the explanation for its burial? It looks as though the dinosaurs may have been caught in an ancient flash flood and buried quickly. An ancient flash flood. Notice the word that keeps showing up, flood. But they're not going to give God credit for it. They're not going to say it's a worldwide event. It's a local flood, a seasonal flood. Then in Chile, Robert Sanders, in an article by the University of California, described a huge dinosaur graveyard by noting, the fossil bones were found strewn throughout an ancient flood deposit in Chile's Atacama Desert, suggesting that there were animals or corpses caught up in a flood perhaps 110 million years ago. Again, an ancient flood. In a flood. So they keep talking about these bones are here because of a flood. But they're going to give it a localized flood. They're not going to say that God brought a worldwide flood. That's they just can't say that. Yes, David. It's just interesting that these little local floods all around the world kind of wiped out these dinosaurs. But yet they can't say that it happened all at once. It was individual little floods. Yes, Troy. Yep, the flood. It was one that never had been, never will be again. Only one of its kind. But it's just interesting that they do mention that these bones are here because of a flood. But it's a seasonal, it's an ancient flood, it's a local flood. It's not the flood. In an article discussing the series Walking with Dinosaurs, it states that the Ghost Ranch in New Mexico has one of the richest fossil finds in the world. Why did they say there were so many dinosaur bones found or buried in this location? Paleontologists believe that the collection of fossils was a result of a mass death around a dwindling water source during the drought. Before the bodies of the animals were eaten by scavengers, a flash flood buried them in muddy sediments where they are preserved. Again, a flash flood. A flood is what caused these animals to be buried and the bones that we can dig up and see today. In the fall of 2007, a massive fossil bed was uncovered in Spain with an estimated 8,000 dinosaur bones. What was the cause given for such a massive gravesite? I'll give you one guess. Flood. A paleontologist at Seneca's Science Museum said that the animals were probably washed into the fossil bed by heavy flooding. So what seems to be the main theme through all this? Water. And lots of it. But again, they can't say a worldwide flood. They can't say the flood of the Bible. But the flood did it, nevertheless. What is the common reason given by scientists for all the large dinosaur graveyards? Flooding. The flood of Noah. Again, the flood of Noah answers a lot of questions. Solves a lot of problems. Where did all these fossils come from? Around the world, all continents. the flood of Noah. Well, Noah's flood didn't wipe them all out at once. Noah, of course, he had all these different animals on the ark. It was to preserve them. But as I mentioned, once they stepped out of that ark, the world that they had seen a year before was not the same world they stepped out into a year later. And so where they could have lived lavishly in all of the foliage, eating everything they wanted, tropical temperatures, that had all changed. So they had to really fight for their existence. Yes, Richard. No, he says all air-breathing animals were there. Everything to breathe there. Land animals were all on the ark. We also mentioned the fact that when you talk about these big dinosaurs, they didn't have to be the adult dinosaurs that were on the ark. They could have been babies. Most of the dinosaurs laid eggs, so they could have been just little hatchlings when they were put on the ark. They didn't have to take up all this room that you see these big dinosaurs weighing tons. They were just little bitty guys, probably. One, take up less space. Two, less food. But again, when they got out, this world was different. The global flood of Noah's day, as recorded in Genesis 6 through 8, provides an excellent explanation for dinosaur graveyards found around the world. They didn't have to be local floods, every little local flood around the world. It was the flood, as Troy said. The Bible explains that all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. All water above the earth, all water below the earth, was now on the earth. And it flooded it to the highest mountain by 15 cubits, about 22 feet. That's the flood that caused all of these dinosaur bones, all these fossils that we have. Therefore, all the high hills under the whole earth, or under heaven, were covered. The whole world was flooded. During that year-long flood of Noah, countless thousands of dinosaurs would have drowned and been buried quickly in muddy deposits, creating the fossilized dinosaur bones found all around the world that we have today. It is reasonable to conclude that these dinosaur burial grounds became the well-known fossilized graveyard that scientists have discovered, that were not created by local floods, but by the worldwide flood that was brought upon the world by God in Noah's day. Okay, we're going to end there. We're getting pretty close to the end, but we'll end that. Dinosaurs and men, mankind did live together. One of the things that was against them was after they come out of the ark, the world was different. There's a little section in this book here that I'll read probably next week, I think, 2 weeks. It goes through and explains a little bit what they say probably happened to the dinosaurs, the dinosaur extinction. And that's one of the things that it talks about, is that the world was really conducive to these large reptiles. As I mentioned, a reptile wants to be warm. And these big guys have to eat a lot of food. When everything was tropical, when the air temperature was tropical, that was a prime area, environment for them to exist in. But now, here comes the Ice Age. The temperatures are drastically different. And then the ones that did survive, they went throughout the whole world. But then what else went around the whole world? mankind. And as man began to move into these areas, like today, you talk about the rainforest and so on. There's lots of species that we have to try to preserve because they're going extinct. Why? Because of the encroachment of man. And if these dinosaurs were a problem, just like we saw in that tile mosaic in Nile, in the Nile River, what were they doing? Killing that thing. He's causing us trouble. So, between the environment and the spread of mankind, eventually they begin to be wiped out. At least the ones that we call dinosaurs today. Okay, we'll continue in 2 weeks. I said we'll end this particular lesson and we'll start the next one. We'll talk about the great universe that God has created. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for all the blessings of life. We thank you for your word that you've given us so that we can read and we can study it and we can learn that you are all-powerful, that you are in control, that you created us, and that we have to answer to you one day. And that's why we appreciate the love that you have for each one of us, and that even though we don't deserve it, you have sent your Son to this world to die so that we can have that hope of eternal life in heaven. We pray now as we leave from here that we'll go into the world and that we'll be a light in your community. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.